Good morning, Farmington.
Morning.
Hey, for those of you who may not know me, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm lead pastor at Grace Community Church. I get to work with Glenn and the staff there every single week, and I had the opportunity to come up to Farmington this week, and so I jumped on it right away because I love coming up here. I love seeing you guys. So thank you for having me up here. You didn't have a choice. Woohoo! All right. I specifically came up today because I don't know many of you know, if you've seen that pregnant girl on stage, Allie, today is her due date, and I can tell you, she's still pregnant. So I gave Glenn the day off today in case he wanted to, you know, they were going to have the baby, and the baby said, nah, I got this, don't worry about it. So she's still holding in there. I don't think she's enjoying that, but she knows that's part of the journey on this whole thing. So I get to be up here today, and I get to continue on in our sermon series, our Lent sermon series called The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the sermon series we're going through during this time of Lent. And Lent is when we have this 40 days where we set aside, where we take things out of our life, so that we can put more of God in our life. Where we say, I'm going to fast from something, I'm going to remove something, so that I can spend more time with God, more time in prayer, more time in talking to Him and following Him with my life. And so we said, let's have this Lent sermon series be about praying, and be specifically on the Lord's Prayer, how He taught us to pray. And He taught us how to pray in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. So I'd like if you guys would want to read along with me, and let's all pray this, speak it together, out loud together. So let's go ahead and do that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So this is the Lord's Prayer. And we've been talking about this the last couple weeks. And we started out with the Lord's Prayer talking about our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Other versions say, may your name be kept holy. And talking, going, everything we start out with this prayer, everything we start out in our entire prayer life starts right there. Our Father in heaven. Holy be your name. May your name be hallowed. Hallowed be your name. May your name be kept holy. Talking about going, this is the purpose of all our prayer. We want to focus that first, that you are kept holy, that you are glorified, that we put you there in our life as the number one in heaven above all things. We want to recognize God's place. And then last week we talked about, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. That God, I want to see you rule over our lives. I want to see you rule over this world. I want to see where your kingdom has come and we are in the presence of it. And when it comes down to it, God, I want what you want in my life. Not what I want necessarily, but what you want for me. May your will be done. And as I get closer to you and closer to God, that should be happening. We should go, as I get closer and I have a deeper relationship with Him, and I have this close relationship with God, His will starts becoming my will because He's living inside of us and His heart becomes our heart. And this is the idea we're talking about. It all starts from this one concept of who we're talking to. Throughout this entire prayer, who are we talking to? And we're talking to God. We're talking to God, the holiest of holies. Hallowed be thy name. But it's really in those first two words, our Father, right? Our Father. And so how we talk and how we talk to God is incredibly important because how you talk to someone matters who they are, right? If you're talking to your boss, you talk with probably a level of respect to them because they're your boss. But then when they leave, you talk to your coworkers behind their back at a level of disrespect about your boss because you're tired of what these crazy things they tell you to do. And you're like, it just doesn't make sense to run this place into the ground, even though they're doing their best. When you talk to your landlord, if you're renting, you have to have a level of, okay, look, I'm talking to you. I need this done because I'm paying you a certain thing. We have a contractual obligation. It's not necessarily a friendship here. We have a contract. We're trying to make sure that I pay something, I get something in return. When you talk to a cashier at the grocery store, you talk to them and you're like, we're efficiently getting some stuff done here. I'm probably going to leave. I don't know if I'll see you till next week or next year. And so it's just kind of this surface relationship. But when you say, our Father, and you're talking to your Father, you're recognizing that you're sitting there coming to Him going, I know you love me. I know you care for me. I know that there's this relationship that is poured out, this perfect fatherhood, not our broken fatherhoods in this world, but a perfect Father who loves us, who wants us, and who is saying, I want to pour into you, I want to take care of you, I want to love you, I want to give you all that is good. And when we come to Him, we understand that that's how He meets us, right there, that wants what's best for us, wants to see us have a relationship with Him. But He loves us no matter what. And He offers it, all those things, He offers it freely. So when we come to God our Father, it's incredibly important. We talk about this almost every week, but it's important to remember this. We have to remember when we talk to God, we're talking to our Father who wants what's best for us and who loves us. And the reason that's important is because what we're going to be talking about today is having this next verse in Matthew, which says, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Now, we sometimes go, okay, our daily bread, thanks God, I need some food, that kind of stuff. But when we're actually talking to God here saying, give us today our daily bread. And we're talking to God about give us today our daily bread. There's a reason that Jesus said this exact phrase, give us today our daily bread. And that is because bread is an incredibly important thing in people's lives. Okay? Especially this idea of bread in the culture that Jesus was talking to. Remember, he was talking to a Jewish culture that relied on bread to eat. That bread was incredibly important. So bread is actually one of the most important advancements in society. That may seem like an odd thing, but bread is what changed the world in how we have culture now. Bread showed up actually about 8,000 BC, so almost 10,000 years ago is when we have the first indication that we have hard proof that there was bread, where they mixed flour and water together, or some milk, and then they cooked it, let it become a paste, cooked it, and realized they had something that wouldn't just go bad right away, that they didn't have to eat right now, something that would stay there for a while. Bread is actually what changed us from being a nomadic society where you roamed around and went from place to place to get food and find what you could find where you went to being able to settle in one area. Once you had bread, you could take harvest, you could take grains, you could say, I've got what's here in front of me, I can keep them, I can make them into something that I can now store and I can stay in one place and I don't have to leave and go find food. Food lasts a little longer. So people understood bread is something that's very important in your life. In fact, bread is the most widely consumed food in the entire world, is bread. So even today, we understand that bread is important. Now, when I grew up, it came in a white bag. Does anyone remember what that was called? Wonder Bread. It was the paste of horrible bread that was sweet and sugary, and it was the epitome of mass production, right? It was white bread that you could just squeeze it up and squeeze it up into a little ball, and then you could like eat it, and it was turned back into dough. It was pretty cool. Now, I've had Wonder Bread in the last couple of years. I don't know how I ate that as a kid. Now I'm like, oh, I want baguettes and I want fancy breads and, you know, pumpkin rye, pumpernickel, something or other that I can't say that cost me $14 for a little loaf this big at the farmer's market. I never get that. But this idea of bread is incredibly important. And so when Jesus said, give us today our daily bread, people understood saying, you want something that you need, or you need something today. It's giving me my needs for today. I need bread to survive. But to the people he was speaking to, it meant even something more than that. See, the people he was speaking to was this Jewish community,
And as he was speaking to them and telling him, this is how you pray, give us today our daily bread. This was a society that lived on an oral history, that lived on this idea of being able to tell stories of our past, of our ancestors, what's happened. And people in this society specifically understood this idea of who Moses was and what he went through. And the Israelites, if they left from Egypt, if they understood that Passover feast, they understood celebrating those times. And so when he said, give us today our daily bread, just our bread for today, they would have immediately put it together with another story from the Old Testament. They would have immediately put it together with the story of when the Israelites left Egypt and they crossed into the desert and they were wandering for 40 years in the desert because of choices they had made and offenses against God. And he said, for 40 years, you're going to wander. And during that time, they said, we need to eat. We're in the desert. What do we do here? And so this is what God said, talking to Moses and told the Israelites. In Exodus 16, he says, the Lord says to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat. And in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes of frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. So what happened was, God said, I understand you need to eat. I'm going to send meat every night through quail. And guess what? Every morning, I'm going to make bread for them. And you're going to gather it up. You're going to gather up an omer of this material. Now, we don't understand that system of measurement, just so everyone knows. An omer is about 2/3 of a gallon. So it's somewhere between 1/2 and 3/4 of a gallon. It's around 2/3 of a gallon of bread. So think of a gallon jug container and about 2/3 full. They were to gather that much bread that they could sit and eat throughout the day. And they would eat this bread and it would sustain them and it would take care of them. And God's saying, look, I'm going to give you what you need today. And in fact, he was very specific about, I'm going to give you what you need today. He was so specific that later on it says, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until the morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until the morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. It's a beautiful picture, right? See, God was talking to the Israelites. He was with them in the desert. He had just taken them out of Egypt. He had said, look, I took you out from being slaves. They had gone against him and offended him and said, I'm breaking our commandment with you, God. We still want to do what we want to do. And he said, you just don't get it. And he said, so now for the next 40 years, you're going to wander in the desert. But it's not going to be a wander and going through this tough time for no reason. I want you to learn to depend on me on a daily basis. And so he said, look, every day I'm going to give you what you need today and today only. And if you try and keep it and hoard it up for tomorrow, it's going to be rotten. You need to rely on me today for what your needs are today, for your daily bread today. See, really, when Jesus is saying, give us today our daily bread, the Israelites, the Jewish people, understood he was referring to the story of Moses saying, give us what we need today, not to store it up and stuff, but what I need today. And they would have understood that bread really meant this, reliance on God. Saying, God, give me what I need in this moment. Take care of what I need today. I'm not asking for the rest of my life. I'm not asking for anything. I want to rely on you in this moment, in this time, right now. And so when you ask God to give us today our daily bread, you're saying, God, here's my needs in this moment. Here's my struggles in this moment. Give me what I need, God, to deal with today. Tomorrow has enough of its own problems, right? Take care of today, God. I don't know what the future will bring. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. To be honest, I don't know what's going to happen today. It has really changed my life as I realize I have zero control over it. I can't control if I can walk out of this building when I'm done. It's not up to me. All I can control is my actions and my reactions. I can't control anything else in it. The rest of it, I rely solely on God for everything. Because he's the one that gives me life. He's the one that makes it so I have money or don't have money, have a home or don't have a home. I'm to be a good steward of what he gives me. If I took the money that God has made it so I can provide and have, and I go and put it all on black, that's my bad, right? I'm not being a good steward of that money. But if I rely on God, he says, I will take care of your needs. And that really should say two things to us. It should say first that God cares for our daily needs. If he's saying, reach out to me, talk to God, when Jesus said, talk to your Father, give us today our daily bread. If we're asking him for that, then that means he cares about what's happening to us on a daily basis. I don't know how many people have thought or heard someone else say, but they go, I just feel like that's a problem too small for God. Anyone ever thought that when they've thought to pray or anything? I know I have. I've sat there and went, you know, I don't really feel, God doesn't care about that. That's not a big deal. He's got a lot of stuff going on, like the world, right? And the universe and the cosmos. And I really like gravity and all that stuff. God, focus on the big things. But God cares about if I'm struggling with a friend. God cares about my marriage. God cares about physical pain I'm going through. God cares about everything. He cares about my daily needs, and it matters to him. And the other thing we should get out of that is that we should rely on God for our daily needs. We should rely on him for what we need daily. I know I'm not always good at that one, relying on God for what I need daily. You know, I try and plan 20 years in the future. I'm like, all right, Denise, if we put this much money away for this much time, then we can do this, and at this point, this will happen, and if the stock market goes this way, that'll happen, and if we do this right, then this kid will go to college, and this one hopefully won't go to jail, and you know, you go through all those things, right? Like, that's what you try and do, set up the future. And I forget to go, God, what do you want in every step of the way? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do in this moment? It's good to make plans for the future. Like I said, it's good to be good stewards of what we have. But are we truly relying on God in every single daily need we have? The reality is that God cares about what happens to you daily. He cares if you have food. He cares if you're clothed. He cares about all those things. Do bad things happen? Yeah. But God also cares on how you have a relationship with him through those tough times. It says in Luke 12, 22 through 24, Jesus is talking to people, and he says, he was getting discouraged, and he said, look, don't you get it? Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? How much more valuable are you? God says, look, hunger is important. Clothing is important. But only to a certain extent. If you don't have a relationship with God, what does any of it matter? If you're not relying on God in everything, what does it matter? There are things that are more important than our basic needs, yet God cares about your basic needs. If he's going to take care of the ravens in the sky and the birds to make sure that they can survive winter in Maine and New Hampshire, right? He's going to take care of you. Rely on him. focus on him. But also, remember, there's one caveat to that. You have to point first that thy will be done, right? We already talked about your kingdom come, thy will be done. And now, once your will's done, can you take care of my daily needs? But we have to make sure that God's will is done first in everything, that we follow his will in everything, and then we focus on those daily needs. And those daily needs are important, but only falling under God's will. The reality, though, that is when we say, give us today our daily bread, that isn't just referring to our physical bodies and our physical needs and going, I need food and shelter. You see, our needs are not just physical. We have emotional needs, we have spiritual needs, and we have things that matter in our lives. Our needs can be a need for peace. We go through troubled times. We go through hurts. We go through sorrow. I was at a funeral yesterday, and I could see the hurt on people's faces. I was praying to God, God, give them peace. And I talked to the people saying, look, God will give you the peace you need, peace that surpasses all understanding. When it doesn't make sense to have, he will comfort you. He will give you peace in your life. Those are needs that we have when we're going through troubled times, when we're going through struggles in our relationships, in our marriages. We need God to give us peace today, our daily peace we need today. We need him to strengthen our relationships. As we sit there, we have a desire to be in relationship with each other, to be able to talk to people. To be honest, we like to be liked. I know I do. I don't like it when people don't like me. I will go out of my way to make people like me. I'll make a fool of myself to make people like me. I've done it many times. You'll probably see it a few in years to come. But we want those relationships to grow. We want them to flourish. And we need God in that also. We need God help heal these relationships. Help us work through them. Help us grow in them. Help us grow in our relationship with you, God. We need love. I know growing up, my mom and dad used to talk a lot about love. And my mom, I think, put it in the best terms possible of understanding true love. That true love is unconditional love. And this idea of unconditional love is exactly what God gives us. She said, whenever you see someone who's probably in a bad mood, who's struggling through life, who doesn't get along with people, it's because there's no one in their life that unconditionally loves them and lets them know no matter what, I love you. It doesn't matter what you do or anything else, I still love you. And that's a love we need in our hearts. And the reality is we're broken people, and we don't always give each other unconditional love. Sometimes it has conditions on how we act or how we do these things. And the amazing thing is, God loves us unconditionally, completely, fully, with everything inside him. He loves us so much that he died for us. He loves us so much that he rose again for us, that he covered our sins so that we could love him back in a closer way. When you're praying for your daily needs, that love from God, that's an incredibly important one to have. And our needs are joy as well. People a lot of times mix up happiness with joy. I will tell you they're two totally different things. Happiness is a response to what's going on. Joy is a response despite what is going on. I'm happy when good things happen to me. I'm joyous no matter what happens to me because I find my value in my relationship and my worth in my relationship with my God. We need to have that joy in our life. And we can only truly get joy from God because we know he loves us unconditionally, because we know he wants a relationship with us, and because we know he provides all peace through all situations. It's incredibly important as we're looking at our physical needs and our spiritual needs, to go, where do we find those needs fulfilled? Where do we find it? And Jesus tells us very clearly in John chapter 6, verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then later in that same chapter, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. See, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. God, take care of my needs in this moment. Take care of my needs today, what I'm struggling with, what I'm going through, what my physical needs are, what my emotional needs are, what my spiritual needs are, God. Take care of me today. I need to rely on you. I need you to be that bread. Just as the manna and you took care of the Israelites in the desert, I need you to be my bread. And Jesus said, I am that bread. I am the bread of life. I will take care of your physical needs. I will take care of your spiritual needs. And I will take care of your emotional needs. And this is what we should be praying to God when we're seeking to have God in our lives. And we're saying, God, give us this day our daily bread. We should be asking for those three things when we're talking about it. Physically, God, take care of what I need today in this world. I don't need to have fancy clothes. I don't need to have a fancy car, God. I need to get around. I need to get to work to take care of my family. God, provide the job. Provide that need. Provide so I can be taken care of today, in this moment, in this world. Not tomorrow, but today, God, my daily needs now. Praying for God to take care of our emotional needs in relationships, in family, in peace, in our struggles in life. Taking care of our spiritual needs in our relationship with God. And really saying, God, when I ask for my daily bread, I'm asking for more of you in my life. God, I pray, give me today more of you. Give me more of you in this moment. Not in 20 years from now, not in 30 years from now, not enough to store up forever. Give me what I need of you today. To take care of today. To let me serve you today. To let me glorify you today in all things. This is what it means when we say, give us today our daily bread. It's talking about in this moment, having a relationship with God. In this moment, that we focus on Him. Focus on Him taking care of us, but focus on more of Him in our lives. And the more we pray that on a daily basis, the more our lives change because we have Him right now. Right now. His will in our life, His kingdom with Him ruling over us, and our Father having that relationship with us every single day. Let's pray together.